The word gospel does not appear in the Gospel of John, nor in the book of James, and it appears only once in the book of Revelation in 14:6. What does that tell us about the meaning of the word gospel? Welcome to The Good Word. We finish up our series in the book of James. My conversation partners are again Dave Thomas, Dean of the School of Theology, and Pedrito, also a member of the School of Theology. Pedrito, you're our James expert, and why in the world did they turn away from the book of James to talk about the everlasting gospel?
It just shows the influence of Luther and Protestant Reformation upon us. And by doing this, we're not satisfied enough to just let James speak like a prophet from or speak like a sage. We have to come back to make James a gospel according to Paul. James is James. James is not talking about the gospel the way Paul is talking about it. It's not talking about the atonement. If James wanted to put in there about atonement, whether substitutionary or otherwise, he would have put it in there. And he'd be making a different sermon. We don't have to force James to say what James is not saying. I am anxious for us to read the Bible in context, read passages the way they are meant to be read. We have all these denominations around the world over the centuries because we just choose what passages we want to choose, or we put texts into contexts that they're not supposed to be in. I would have loved them to just leave James as is. And the wonderful verses at the end, restore sinners. If that's the gospel, let's call that the gospel or restoration. But we don't need to go through some of these other theological things and make James say that, because we just misinterpret James. I have a strong burden for that. But I will answer whatever other question you have to add, sir.
Help you out. No, as I look back over the whole quarter, it strikes me that, I have a renewed appreciation for the fact that James was... He was, forgive the gun analogy, but he was using a sniper rifle, not a shotgun. He was addressing one issue primarily in his day. He was not, Paul seems to take in everything, but James is talking to a very specific situation, is a better way of saying that.
That's right.
And he's not going to be turned aside too often.
That's right.
And so I think when people do that, it's fair to assume that they are cognizant of all those other theological niceties, but that's not their point.
And we have softened scripture and issues so much by trying to find balance. James doesn't find... No, I'm serious.
That's funny.
No, James doesn't speak about the gospel, so we have to put it in there. And we're going to override the Holy Spirit by putting what he doesn't put in.
He doesn't talk about bringing tithes and offerings.
He doesn't talk about that, but we have to bring that in.
He doesn't talk about the Sabbath.
He doesn't bring any of that, because he wants them to focus very distinctly on this. It doesn't mean he doesn't believe it. But too often we get in the pulpit and our sermons are sap. So people go away feeling okay. Sometimes people have to go away feeling challenged. And I don't want to make James one of those people that don't challenge us. After I read James, yes, I can read John and I can read some of these others. But today, I need James.
So if you were in church the day James preached, you'd go out of there riled up.
I would be riled up. And I would be mad if I fell into that category.
Yeah. You could go home very wounded or challenged.
And I hope that I would say, I got to look at my life again. This is not what I want. And for me, that is the gospel. Because we call the four gospels the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel of Jesus, the good news that Jesus gave. But you look at Luke. It is a lot of James stuff, and that's still the gospel.
Well, one of the things that have been very interesting for me, I have a book in my library entitled Law as Gospel. And if you go to the Old Testament, that is certainly the case. Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 to 8, Moses simply is popping his buttons. He says, who else has a God that's shown us how to live? All the other nations say, wow, you really got something special. And you have Psalm 119, the whole thing celebrates law as gospel. That's right. But when you have a very sharp focus on substitutionary theology and use the phrase law and grace, then inevitably you have law as bad news and grace as good news. And I think that many people want to define the gospel very narrowly in terms of substitutionary atonement, so they want to dump James because it's not there. What I've discovered, and I think this has to do with the diversity, for me, discovering the perspective on the cross in the Gospel of John 14 to 17 was a huge insight for me. Now, Dave, you and I have talked about this on many occasions. In fact, you made a very telling observation about my experience because it was, as you put it, if I recall, you said for your spiritual growth really took on a new turn when you realized the sinfulness of humankind.
The plight of humans, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you commented about me, says Thompson, he says, you started with the goodness of God and now are deepening your understanding of the sinfulness of humankind, whereas for you it was the other way around. Mm-hmm. We need to make room for those kinds of things.
Absolutely.
And I think it's terribly important that we have in the canon a book that doesn't use the word gospel at all.
Where is the saving element in James? I mean, you mentioned that bringing sinners to repentance. I mean, or is he just
where is the wholeness in James? James bring a dimension of wholeness that we have ignored. Because saving for us is when Jesus comes a second time, or when we give our hearts to Jesus in a particular way, get baptized in a part of a narrow, individualistic way. Yeah. For James, when we help the poor, when we don't oppress them, we are saving them. And we're saving ourselves, too, as a community.
So the Gospel of James really is that in the midst of oppression, you can be whole.
That's exactly right.
Okay? Because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Yeah. He doesn't use the Holy Spirit he does that.
Yeah.
So when somebody's hungry, you actually save them by feeding them. Mm. When somebody's naked, you actually save them by giving them. It has a social dimension. When you don't talk and destroy people, you save them by not destroying
them. The concept of wholeness is the one that is intriguing me, because when we're talking about saving the sick, that really a more direct translation is that they will be made whole.
That's right.
Or the And shalom is actually the good.
Shalom is wholeness.
Yeah, it's when peace he talks and wholeness. It's peace. A very complex word, which I wish we had in the English language.
And what James does is give us another dimension of what wholeness is. Paul gives us a certain dimension, right? Yeah. But it's messed up our Western religion.
So it's not it's not the theological description of the gospel you read here. It's the outworkings of the gospel.
And that is theology.
Yeah.
But now, before the clock comes to an end here, I would like all three of us just to take a few minutes to reflect on what we talked about this quarter. It's been a very lively discussion. Patrita, with your expertise, you've been a great blessing to us. Mm-hmm. But I would like to hear from Dave and Patrita, and I'll share my own, the most helpful features of the book of James. We've worked through it. And then perhaps, by contrast, those that are most troubling and or most challenging, the growth points that we've worked with. So, Dave, I'm going to start off with you.
Well, I can answer the first half of your question quite directly. I'd have to think about the second part a little bit. But, I have to tell you that this experience has created a new interest in my mind about James, and it comes primarily because of the discussion of him being the New Testament equivalent of the ancient prophets. And I love the ancient prophets, I realize now James is in that mode. He is speaking directly to the wrongs of his age and saying, you need to fix them. And that to me is, that's probably the most blessed thing I'm taking from this discussion. I'll think about the other question and maybe come back a little later.
Well, one of the things, and let me start with what's most challenging or also most helpful for me, is the two passages on prayer. Working it through, where if any of you is lacking in wisdom, to discover that that is very narrowly focused on wisdom, and God always will answer that prayer. That has been a very helpful insight for me. And the other one is the prayer of faith will save the sick.
That's a good one, too.
So that I don't have to say we'll save the sense. We can broaden it out, as Pedrito has done. But addressing those two practical points have given me insights that I can talk with others now. And so when they're panicked, well, I don't have enough faith, you know, and that's why I wasn't healed. No, that's not what James is saying. Pedrito?
Again, get back to Romans. I mean, James 2, verses 14, actually 1, 27 through 2:26. Theology is not enough just doing dry theology. We have to have
dry theology.
Theology. That's what James is trying to say. It doesn't really exist. And we spend more time focusing on theological niceties instead of going and doing. The part, of course, that's always troubling for a person that has the gift of the gab, the tongue. I have to be so careful and have to think about it because I like to talk.
Now,
and
would you say that the tongue passages are your favorite passages or the most needed passages?
The most needed passages, okay. That's what I'm saying. The parts that challenges me are that because I talk and many times I will say things that hurt, which I never intended to. So I keep challenging myself, especially that I'm a teacher and he talks about teachers, you know.
Dave, do you got any more wisdoms there?
I don't know. I think, you know, I'd like to hear James preach. You know, I'd probably sit in the back of the church, though, because it's not too late. There was some fire in the pulpit. You know, I guess the hardest thing for me is to think about what it would be like to be a rich person and listen to James. Because, you know, I have known some rich people who are very good and kind and righteous. And, you know, for them to be hammered, it would be a very great burden. But at the same time, I'm aware that a lot of money is a great temptation, you know. That so I offer my congratulations to the wealthy and my condolences as they read James.
And I'll admit that Pedrito has not yet convinced me that there were no good rich people. I'm going
that
to grumble that
there was no good rich person that didn't share their wealth.
Okay,
that's an important qualification.
They all, and once they shared like they did in the early church, they said there was no poor among them because everybody think they had belonged to it. So they were not in the category of rich anymore.
Oh, wow. So they actually gave it away.
They gave it away. The early church said that very clearly.
Well, Zacchaeus could give all this stuff. And I mean, he didn't get the same message from Jesus as the rich young ruler.
No, because before Jesus even talked with him, he said, the half of my good I give to the poor, and if I owed anybody, I'll give them four times. And he owed everybody in Jericho.
The half of his goods may have been what he got by unfair treatment.
And he was going to fourfold him. And Jesus said immediately, salvation has come to your house.
So on that cheerful note, if we are wealthy, we can listen to Jesus.
Well, no, I just think that we need to realize wealth can be a great blessing. So
good.
Anyway.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Pedrito. And my thanks to Dave Olson, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.